Hear the word of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." As I mentioned, I was glad that you made it here this morning. And I know that this past week's been challenging for people to make their way to many places. And I'm so grateful, thankful for Joe at the back there, who made sure the walkway was clear for us to get in the building today and the doors were open. But in recent weeks and even months, those of you who live in this city know that driving down the streets of London can be quite challenging. And you know that way preparing is a very messy enterprise. In the meantime, we should be glad that the road worker is diverting you around a big hole in the ground, and know that those black and orange pylons are preventing you from running headlong into oncoming traffic. And this is what is necessary to facilitate better traffic flow. And I know most assuredly that gliding smoothly under the new Adelaide underpass while the train wallows to and fro above me is a sweet relief. Right, after months and months of inconvenient way preparing. If we expect to get anywhere or expect others to find their way unimpeded, it often necessitates someone preparing the way, you know, plowing the roads, shoveling the sidewalk, unlocking the door, stopping to fill the gas tank. See, way preparing is not always so visible, though, or even recognizable. It certainly is never very glamorous, particularly the kind of way preparing done inside the home. You know, cleaning bottoms and wiping noses and clearing floors and soothing sores. One cannot underestimate the difference that these expressions of love and self-giving make to those for whom they are done. They are in no way insignificant, and they make the way less treacherous for young lives to grow and develop and mature. And they make the way to glory more dignified and comfortable for the senior in our sphere. Why is it that we seem to only notice when the way has been neglected and something gets in our way? You know, when you pause to consider what the consequences can be, when the ways inside and outside the home are neglected, we know more surely just how critical they are. And that seems to be the way of the gospel. God takes and uses the common tasks through common people to accomplish extraordinary things. God has a way of taking what appears, you know, less significant, the less outstanding events and persons and places, and transforming them into things of ultimate and lasting importance. Our gospel lesson opened in a setting, a time, and a space of big shot people in big shot places that Luke's contemporaries would find most renowned and prestigious. And then you'll recall the message shifts with the word of God coming to John, old Zechariah's son, and in the wilderness of all places. An outlying province becomes notable, and this camel-haired clad prophet carries with him the most vital and life-transforming message. An Old Testament passage takes on remarkable new meaning, and a person born in poverty on the wrong side of the tracks becomes the savior of the world. Friends, this is the way God initiates redemption. God's word infiltrates the apparent insignificant people, places, and things of the world, transforms them into the most unprecedented. And it was this word that compelled John to prophesy, to prepare the way and herald Jesus' coming. Now, the coming of God's salvation is good news. Good news of a salvation that also meant judgment. In other words, in order to be on the way means that what's in the way must be cleared. Preparing the way necessitates getting rid of the obstacles. Preparing the way for God's salvation, says John, begins by clearing the obstacles within the self. It requires a cleansing and preparation of the heart. We are called to repentance. And John proclaimed a baptism of repentance, a baptism that symbolized or expressed repentance. Now, please know that repentance is more than just penitence or a sorrow for sin. It entails a complete change of mind, a new direction of the will, an altered purpose and direction in life. Literally, repentance means turning around and walking in a new way, on a new way. Repentance cleanses the heart, frees it from guilt and sin. Repentance transforms the heart that once harbored fear and resentment and fashions it into a forgiveness vessel. A forgiving heart that helps prepare the way for the restoration of relationships. Repentance is not only personal, it's also communal. It transforms a fearful and resentful, self-protective group of people into an open, unfortified, and accepting community that embraces all people and sees them as Christ sees them, people of immeasurable value and worth, beloved of God. And this initial preparation makes possible a second phase of preparation for God's redemptive way. The call and privileged opportunity to move obstacles for others. See, implicit in our call to discipleship is the summons for us to prepare the way of the Lord. Our task as the church is to get things ready so that God's voice could be heard, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of all those about us. And as disciples of Jesus, we know ourselves to be Jesus' followers. However, there are times when the word of the Lord beckons us to go on ahead, to prepare his way into the world and into the lives of others. It's not unlike the task that Jesus gave to those who were standing outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Remember Jesus' instruction? Roll away the stone. Get it out of the way. And like John the Baptist, the church's prophetic role is to help prepare others to receive the word of salvation. Make it straight. Fill in the gaps. Break down the barriers and smooth out the resistance. Friends, we participate in preparing the way for others in countless timely ways. We fill in the valleys and lift up, so to speak, those who find themselves stuck in the depths of despair. We know that it's dark in the valley. The valley can be a cold and lonely place. So we fill in valleys when we lift up those who mistakenly believe that they are of low degree. It means, too, that we venture into the valleys, conveying the truth of God's presence. Even there, we show, too, that there are ways out of the perpetual cavernous walls surrounding them. And sometimes we may be called upon to remove the hills and the mountains of stubborn prejudice and pride. Preparing the way is hardly neat and tidy, right? It's a messy operation. Earth moving is a messy task. And the hills and the mountains are brought low when we challenge those who stand atop crying out, "I'm the king of the castle, right? And you're the dirty rascal." We're called to challenge the high and mighty and expose them to their destructive pride. How else will they hear the voice of the King of Kings as he prostrates himself before them and asks to wash their feet? No doubt we will come across some pretty crooked thinking as well, which impedes Christ's coming. Some people's perception of the gospel has been skewed by misleading messages that suggest all those people they really need to get their act together. You know, get squeaky clean before you come in here. Get your ducks in a row, right? So to speak. And do all that, before you can know God's grace and love. Yeah. How many how many folks have you encountered that have conveyed a perception of themselves of having failed? Failed at earning enough brownie points to pass the test and measure up so that they can enter into a relationship with God and his people. Friends, the gospel message is simple. And somewhere along the line, the way for many has become extremely complicated and far from straight, resembling an impossible obstacle course, an impenetrable maze. Sometimes the call to prepare the way may be for us to smooth out the ground of resistance. Interestingly, it may mean that we ourselves have to get out of the way. Perhaps something, in our own traditions and rituals are impeding Christ breaking into the lives of those about us in fresh, vital, and meaningful ways. Through ways and means we can't even imagine. It may require that we have to fill in the potholes of irrelevance. Friends, let us not discount the simple, unassuming ways that we prepare the way of the Lord on a daily basis. See, we prepare the way through our consoling gestures, our encouraging words. We prepare the way in our active and courageous fights for justice and our movements toward courageous, reconciling embraces. Then let us begin each day by inviting God's cleansing spirit to open wide our self-protective, fettered postures so that God would win his way into our cluttered hearts. Let us listen to his word daily. For as we heed God's word each day, it will no doubt compel us to speak and act as path straighteners, gap fillers, barrier busters, and bump levelers in the lives of those with whom we encounter and engage. Let us also remember, friends, that Christ came for everybody. And Christ continues to come for everyone. And be aware that the way is wrought with hurdles and hazards. You know, in all my years of discipleship, I can't think of anything more exciting than having a part in someone else's experience of coming to know and experience God's salvation. So God help us not to be stumbling blocks. And God forgive us when we have impeded the way of your Son's coming. So friends, go ahead. Prepare his way. After all, Christmas can come at any time. Let us pray. Lord God, dayspring, wisdom, and desire of nations, thank you for stopping at nothing to reach and embrace and love to life your children of this planet. We celebrate Emmanuel coming to us in bone and sinew and breath to touch the dust of earth, the trembling of souls, and the tears of those shaken by brokenness and loss. We're grateful that you continue to abide with us and walk with us and carry us out of our inner darkness and gloom into light. Thank you for embracing hard, cold hearts and warming them into supple vessels of love and leading us out of our barrenness into fruitfulness. God, when the unsettled ground drops from beneath our feet or erupts and we're flung into disturbing spaces beyond our ability to cope, we're grateful for your finding and meeting us there. Oh God, so many in our world have failed to accept the free gift of peace that you offer in Jesus Christ. We watch as disturbed and off-kilter people and nations strive for peace in their lives and fight unjust circumstances by their own destructive devices. And reconciliation and balance are lost by yearnings to crush and kill one's enemy. We pray that the Prince of Peace will confront the misdirected angers of peoples and nations who put to death the wrong things. May the Prince of Peace confront the greed in our world that lifts up and reveres things above people. Draw near to the unwanted and displaced children and to unwanted and displaced parents. Prince of Peace, confront the corrupt and arrogant who hold power and sway over the weak and marginalized. God, as we revel in your coming to us and finding us together here today, help us to discover the gift of faith amid our fears, courage amid cowardice, strength amid weaknesses, and victory amid our defeats, in order that we might be faithful witnesses and instruments of peace in our discordant and unbalanced world and community. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.